John chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 3 through verse 7. In fact, let's just read from verse 1 through verse 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have handled, and or have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was manifested, or which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive only ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. To gracious Father, we thank you for your word, knowing, Father, that there is no man that can say that he is not a sinner. But there are those that can say that they were a sinner, but now they are saved by the grace of God. Yet it is not the things which we have done or undone, but it's simply of what you did for us on our behalf through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, knowing these things and knowing your sovereignty, Lord, and knowing that there is no big I's or little U's among us except one, and that is you, your presence among us, Father. May we always, Father, with fervent hearts, look to thee to answer all our needs. For you promised through your Son, Jesus, that whatsoever we would ask in your name, Father, in the name that you gave your Son, that you would give us that answer. And so, Lord, we commit all of our life expectancies and all, Father, of our life trials, we commit them all back to thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we'll continue in our study of Brother Branham's sermon called The Masterpiece. And I'd like to pick up at paragraph 63 where Brother Branham said, Abraham portrayed Christ, of course. So did Isaac in love. Abraham did in faith. Isaac did in love. Jacob did by his grace, because Jacob means deceiver, and that's what he was. But God's grace was with him. But when it come to Joseph, there's nothing against him but just one little scratch. For the foundation must also be a masterpiece. And when he told his father, the prophet, say to the Pharaoh that your people are cattle raisers and not shepherds, because a shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptian. But when the old prophets... But when the old prophet got before Pharaoh, he said, your servants are herdsmen. So it scratched it, see? That's why it still makes it the masterpiece. Now the foundations were laid through faith, love, grace, and to perfection through the patriarchs. Now the bodywork that come onto this great masterpiece was the prophets, which was the word. I hope you can read it, see? The prophets, not the laws, the prophets. For the prophets was the vindicated word which makes the body, not the patriarchs, the prophets. They were the word. Excuse me. Finally, as he started way back in the days of Moses and come down through the prophets to each one, and finally building up the body, coming closer all the time. And the greatest of all of them was John. The Bible said so. Jesus said it. There's not a man ever born of a woman as great as John the Baptist. Excuse me. For he was the one that could introduce the word. And then come finally the great head, the head of all of it. And the rest of the body just spoke of it. The foundation was laid by the patriarchs, but the body was built by the word, which was the prophets. Now this morning I would like to examine the statement that Brother Branham made concerning the body that is the building, that is built upon the foundation. Now, when constructing a building, there are essentially three parts. Number one, there's a foundation. Number two, the building itself, the walls, etc., the structure, the floors. And then three, the roof, or the capstone. The same thing is true with the Great Pyramid in Egypt. First of all, they had to have a foundation that was straight and true. If the foundation was not perfectly straight, then when they built each layer of stone, if they made an adjustment with the first layer, then they would have to make an adjustment with the next layer, and then the next layer, until each layer would have to have been adjusted all the way to the top. Fortunately today, there are ways of correcting such an error. In the building of the body of Christ, we have a covering that hides all the imperfections. Can anybody tell me what that is? What hides you from the wrath of God? The blood of Jesus Christ. When God looks at your sinful nature through the blood of His Son, He sees only the sacrifice and He does not see you. And as I learned something this week about construction that I think applies to what we are seeing here. If you build a building and the foundation is not perfectly straight, then the next guys building upon that are going to get messed up if they don't know about it or if they try to hide it. And if the next guy errs, then the error will be twice as great. It's kind of like the patriarchs and the prophets. There was no man that was perfect, not even one. That is what the scripture tells us. In Romans 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there are none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And there were none that were entirely perfect in the sight of God, until God Himself came down in His Son and showed the world what perfection is all about. We see in Scripture that Abraham was the father of our faith, and yet we see how his faith waned when he took Hagar in and brought forth Ishmael. Sometimes we as Christians make mistakes, and instead of stopping what we're doing and admitting our error and taking our lumps and then moving on, we try to hide it. Now, to try to hide your mistakes is not the wisest thing to do, because the Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians 5 and verse 13, all things that are reproved, that means brought into correction, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So we see that light is what brings about the proof of the error. And today it is interesting that when doubt arises on a construction site concerning the integrity of a straight line, the laser is the instrument that is put to use to show the trueness of the line in question. And the laser is nothing but a light that shines very true and straight and is used to ensure the building is plumb the way that the drawing calls for it to be. Man can argue over whose fault a job site error might be, but when you get out the laser light, it removes all doubt, and the party or parties that made the mistake know without a doubt that they're guilty of that mistake. Usually when something goes wrong, each party that worked on a building will try to pass the buck to the next contractor, and each will blame the last guy before them until no one admits their error. And that is the same thing that happens among us as Christians and as people in general. But the laser doesn't lie. And when they see the facts, that they have to admit the error. And the light of God's word doesn't lie either. And when the light strikes, all errors are made manifest. That is why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. And we saw that in the ministry of William Branham. People come up in the line and their sins were exposed before all. In business, many times when men think that they will be caught in something that is perhaps just an error, or even worse, sometimes something that may be illegal, they try to cover it. Something that gets maybe in hot water. They try to cover it in a pile of paperwork. They bury it. But that is just the carnal nature in man, to try to hide the mistakes. But all things are manifested by the light. Paul said when he comes with that great light, it will bring into manifestation the counsels of the heart. And we know that in this hour, the great presence of God has come in the form of the light, and He, through the light of His word, has come to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, as I was saying before, if you're building a building today and somehow it gets a little bend in it, there is no way to fix it. if you are covering it with a thin skin of siding. But if the building has a layer of brick, and this is something I found out this week, if the building has a layer of brick in front of that wall, when the brick, then the brick will hide it if the curve in the wall is not too much. Because the brick never touches the building itself. If done correctly, it must remain about an inch from the wall so that there is a pocket of air in between the building itself and the brick. That is for heating and cooling insulation purposes, but also because the wood used to form the house expands and contracts at a different rate than the mortar and brick. Now, but the brick on a building is like the blood of Jesus Christ. No matter how many turns and twists we might have in our lives, if we have applied the brick, the blood of Jesus Christ, then God can only see the brick. And when people look at the building when it's finished, the brick will be true and straight, and the little errors of man and the misjudgments of man will be hidden. And when God looks down upon us, he doesn't see you. He sees only the blood of Jesus Christ, and God cannot see the turns and twists. He only sees the blood, and if you have brick properly laid up on your foundation, you will not see the framing. You will only see the brick. And I thought that's interesting because the brick that we have for our building is like a crimson color. It's a deep red with a little bit of darkness in it, which is crimson. And I like that because I've had to deal with this all week. And I can see the spiritual application. And once that brick is laid out nice and straight, the rest of the building will look just as perfect as the brick. And when the blood is applied in our lives and God does not see our sin, he only sees the blood. And he sees you through the blood as perfect as he saw his own son, Jesus Christ. From the message in his presence, Brother Branham said, God puts our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. He blots them out. And they're as if they never did happen. Oh my. Then we stand by the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, pure and holy. Just as holy as he was. Because he doesn't see me when I come up there. He sees his own son. The only way that he can see, can't see me because I'm in his son. Yes, sir. And he only sees his son. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to think about sins anymore. It's all gone. It's under the blood. Yes, sir. Don't have to worry about it anymore. It's all out. And out of God's memory, he don't even remember it no more. I want you to think about that. Your sin under the blood of Jesus Christ is forgotten. God doesn't even remember it because he cannot even see it. Then tell me we don't need the Son of God and what sacrifice he did for us. He that hath not the Son hath not life. But he that hath not the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And the doctrine of Christ is both the Father and the Son. In Hebrews 5 and 6, Brother Branham said from Hebrews 5 and 6, paragraph 53, by the Holy Spirit baptism we are baptized into that body and are free from sin. God don't see you no more. He only sees Christ. And when you're in that body, God can't judge that body. He's already judged it. He took our judgment and invited us in. And by faith through grace, we walk and accept our pardoning. And the Holy Spirit brings us into this fellowship with him. And we walk no more after the things of the world, but we walk in the Spirit, quickened. The Word came to us. He died in my stead. I'm made alive, and here I am. Who was once dead in sin and trespass, been made alive. All my desires is to serve him. All my love is to him. All my walks wants to be in his name. That wherever I go, whatever I do, I glorify him. If I'm a hunting, if I'm a fishing, if I'm playing ball, if I'm whatever I'm doing, I must be Christ in me. In such a life that'll make men long to be that way. Not tattling, backbiting, and fussing about your churches. You get it? By one Spirit, we're baptized into that body, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. From the waters of separation, Brother Branham said, God, looking through the blood, he doesn't see you no more as a sinner. He sees you redeemed. Amen. You're redeemed because he only sees you through Christ. That's the reason we can be perfect. Not perfect in the sense of sinless. We're perfect in the eyes of God when we're in Christ. That's the reason he said, be therefore perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Paul in the 10th chapter of Hebrews trying to explain the law having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of things, could never make the comer perfect unto perfect, because God was looking through animal blood. But now he looks through the blood of his Son. Perfection comes by Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not perfect in your sight, and you may not be perfect in my sight, but what about in God's sight? There's where it lays. And if you're born again into the body of Christ, then God looks upon you as perfect as Christ was himself. Amen. Nothing you can do. It's not by any works that you can do at all. It's by grace that God give you this offer. And if you've accepted it in the sight of God, you are perfect, redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, without fault, without blemish, without spot. Isn't that marvelous? Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah. And we'll read from verse 1. Or chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let me illustrate this for you. I'm going to hold up a book called Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. As you can see, this book is entirely white with the exception that it has red letters. It has a few black at the top, but mostly red letters. Now, suppose that the white book is the Lamb's Book of Life. But those red letters is your name, in my name. Though your sin be as scarlet, somehow those red letters are going to turn white. Though your sin be as crimson red, it'll be white as snow. Now, the red contrasts with the white Bible. Or the white book. And it's very easy to make out the letters on the book. That's your sin. And that's my sin. That's what we see in ourselves. Now suppose we look at that white book through blood that has never been shed for your sins and mine. Hold your wrist up a minute and look at it. You see the blood going through the vein? What color does it look to you? Blue. All right. So we have an unshed blood that looks blue, no oxygen mixing with it. All right? And when I hold that book up and I put the blue in front of it, what happens to it, John? What happens to the letters? But can you see them better or worse? They become darker, don't they? So your sin becomes darker through an uncut, unshed blood. Okay. When I look at my arteries, I see blue veins, not red. But when the oxygen meets those blood cells, it changes its appearance from blue to red. And so looking at the red letters on this white book, we can see them become darker than ever. Looking through the blue-tinted plastic sheets that I'm holding in front of the book, that was yours and my sin before the presence of God, before the shed blood of the Lamb was shed for our forgiveness. Notice how dark the letters become. Now let's say that God is now looking at your sins and mine through the filter of the shed blood of the Lamb. I want you to notice the red sheets of plastic that I have here that I'm holding in front of this same white book. And notice as you look at those red letters, they disappear in the whiteness of the book. And the more light that is shown upon the book, the brighter and brighter and brighter it becomes, until you cannot see those letters. And God looking through the filter of the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. He doesn't see your sins. Your sins past, your sins future, your sins now. He sees only perfection. Though your sins be as scarlet, they be as white as wool. Though they be as crimson, they be white as snow. Notice that the red letters were not visible to the eye any longer. They became invisible. And your sin to God becomes invisible, hidden completely. Therefore, God has laid down a principle in His universe that says, when you look at red through red, you will see white. As a principle of physics that God has applied through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus. And the more light that you place upon those red letters, the more bright that white becomes. And that principle is applied in the Word of God that says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. So we see that in building the masterpiece, though there may be some faults in the building itself, yet the red brick, the blood, hides all the sins of the patriarchs, hides all the sins, the imperfections of the prophets. First foundation, Abraham was the father of faith, and yet his faith waned when he married Hagar and had Ishmael by him. Then the second foundation, Isaac, the foundation of love, lost his eyesight, and they say that love is blind. You've heard the expression. So Isaac blessed Jacob, thinking that he was Esau. And the Bible tells us that he loved Esau, and yet the Bible also tells us that God hated Esau. His love was blind. The third foundation was Jacob, which means deceiver. He used deception to get the birthright, and it took the grace of God to make him into Israel, one who has power with God. Then the fourth foundation was Joseph, and Brother Bram said, but when it come to Joseph, there's nothing against him, just that one little scratch, for the foundation must also be a masterpiece. When he told his father, the prophet, say to Pharaoh that your people are cattle raisers and not shepherds, because a shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptian. But when the old prophet got before Pharaoh, he said, your servants are herdsmen. So it scratched it, see? That's why it still makes it a masterpiece. And Brother Branham, in another place, he said, I'd rather a person be a drunk than be a liar. He said, I want nothing to do with a liar. Well, there's your little scratch. We can call it a white lie if we want. There ain't such a thing as a white lie. A lie is a lie. Then, what about those patriarchs? You see the imperfections, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, we see the lineage of God. And what about the prophets? Moses struck the rock in anger. And for that, God kept him out of the promised land. Paul killed Christians thinking he was doing God a service. William Branham almost became a murderer at 13 years old. Yet by the grace of God, every one of those bullets would not go off until after those boys left. Then every one of those bullets went off. All the building has its little imperfections, except for the capstone, which was Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. He was the only perfect one throughout all the ages, and it was by His blood, His red brick, that the rest of the house is made perfect. For when God looks at the brick, He doesn't see the imperfections in the building. And when God looks through the shed blood of His Son, He doesn't see you and I, but He sees Jesus Christ. And if we are in Christ, then God doesn't see us. He sees Christ and Him only. Hallelujah. For all He sees is the blood of the Lamb. It reminds me of the story of the little boy that wanted to see God. He went to his mother. He said, Mama, can I see God? And she said, no, honey. She said, I don't think so, but you'll have to ask your dad. So he went to his dad. He said, Daddy, I want to see God. Can I see God? He said, honey. He said, I don't think you can. But he said, why don't you go ask your Sunday school teacher? So he asked the Sunday school teacher, and they passed the buck to the pastor, and the pastor said, no, son, he said, no man can see God. Well, he was discouraged. Next day he went down to go fishing at the river, and he saw an old man. Brother Bam knew the man. His name was John something. I don't remember the last name. And so, anyway, there had just been a great storm had gone through. He said, like storms, he said, you know, we always fear storms, but he said the electrical charges the air, cleans the air up. He said the rain purges, you know, the things in the air. He said everything's fresh and crisp after a storm. And so Johnny got in the boat with, the young boy got in the boat with John, and they went out into the river to fish. And they began to look at a rainbow. And the young boy said to the old man, he said, John, he said, can we see God? And the old man said to him, all I have seen for the last 50 years is God. Brother Brown said he had so much God on the inside that everything he saw was God. And if we truly have the life of God living in us, then we see the hand of God in every little thing in our life. For the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and all things shall work together for the good of those that love him and are thee called according to his purpose. In closing, Brother Rand said from Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, they say nobody can be perfect. The Bible said there is none perfect. There's your contradiction. Is it? All right, you cannot be perfect in yourself. If you're trusting in what you done, you're lost. So be perfect, even just as perfect as God is perfect. Now, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Therefore, now the 5th and 6th chapter of Hebrews, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. And the only way that we can be perfected is by a perfect one. And when that which is perfect is come, the capstone has come, then that which is in part amen. Shall be done away.
Amen, amen.
Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious and loving Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for the blood of your dearly beloved Son. And we are thankful that it was shed on Calvary for us, and that you might not see our sin, but that you see us as perfect as you saw your own Son, Jesus Christ. And for this, Father, we are perfectly washed and clean. Building of God. Fit, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit. Washed by your blood. And so, Father, we pray that you would use us as you've never used us before. And we ask this humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory,